Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. FBI Director Cash Patel announcing a far-reaching federal investigation into NBA players, coaches, and others.
This is an illegal gambling operation and sports rigging operation that spanned the course of years. The FBI led a coordinated takedown across 11 states to arrest over 30 individuals today responsible for this case, which is very much ongoing.
He says tens of millions of dollars in fraud and theft have been taking place amid accusations that those players, coaches, and others used inside information to place sports bets. Government shutdown now in day 23. Money to help pay for food assistance will run out next weekend, but Democrats and Republicans say no new talks are expected. The Trump administration stepping up attacks on what it says are drug smuggling boats, but providing no evidence of that. 9 deadly drone strikes so far. Demolition of the White House East Wing continues. It's expected to be completely taken down by this coming weekend. This is ABC News.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation, and home to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services has announced a notable increase in the number of children being screened for lead exposure this year. According to a press release, about 26% more children under the age of 6 have been screened for lead exposure compared to last year. DHS officials shared the data to honor National Lead Poisoning Prevention Week. They say screening more kids for lead exposure allows state and local health departments to catch more cases of lead poisoning before they lead to serious health impacts for the kids. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state coalition in filing an amicus brief challenging the deployment of the National Guard in Chicago. According to a press release, the brief argues the Trump administration's deployment of the National Guard is unlawful, unconstitutional, and undemocratic. In a statement, Attorney General Call said allowing a president to deploy the military into cities over the objection of their governors would be fundamentally inconsistent with our system of government. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration officials say the mild fall weather has left the waters of Lake Superior about 5 degrees warmer than average. According to a Northern News Now report, the average water temperature recorded on Lake Superior this year is about 53 degrees, higher than the usual mark of 48 degrees at this time of year. They also say 53 degrees is the second warmest that Lake Superior has ever been through this point in October. Experts warn that temperature shifts could impact things like algae blooms and fish habitats. After weeks of consideration, the city of Shell Lake has officially decided what to do with the donated sculpture. The city had originally considered plans to place the sculpture of a woman on a paddleboard with her dog in Memorial Park, but a number of residents expressed concerns over whether the Veterans Park was the right place for it. The city council then decided to accept the sculpture, but tasked the plan commission with finding a better place for it. At its meeting this month, the city council approved placing the sculpture at the Shell Lake Arts Center. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks lose Porter. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks won their opener last night, 133-120, against the Wizards at Fiserv Forum, but they lost guard Kevin Porter Jr., who went down at the end of the first quarter with a sprained left ankle after stepping on teammate Bobby Portis's foot. Doc Rivers asked if he saw what happened.
No, it didn't look good. I'll just say that, you know. So he's going to do an MRI tomorrow. We just got to hope for the best, but looking at it, it was a pretty bad sprain.
The NFL has named Micah Parsons NFC Defensive Player of the Week. Parsons will be after Steelers quarterback Aaron Rodgers next on Sunday Night Football. Rodgers asked if playing the Pack is a revenge game for him.
I don't have any animosity toward the organization. Obviously, I wish that, you know, things have been better in our last year there, but, you know, I have a great relationship with a lot of people still in that organization. This is not a revenge game for me. I'm just excited to see some of those guys and be on Sunday Night Football again.
That's Aaron Rodgers with Sports on Mike Clemens.
107.5 WLAK, Amory's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with highs in the mid to upper 40s here this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy and frosty. We are going to drop into the mid to upper 20s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
The dunks.
Driving down the lane to the rim, and he rips it down with a right hand.
The daggers.
Got it, got it, and a foul. John Blackwell is feeling it.
The exclamation points.
Jack on the run down the lane to the rim, and he sends it down.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
And that's 100 for the Wisconsin Badgers.
107.5 FM, 1260 AM, WLAK.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW-Madison Professor of Military History, John Hall. We dig into what is going on in the current moment and its historical echoes of our past.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are delighted to be joined by two folks from the great Milwaukee Public Museum. Madeline Anderson is the Director of Communications, and James Flores is the Manager of Tribal Relations. Good morning to you both. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Madeline, we're going to start with you. Halloween is next week, and I know that there is a lot of affection for the streets of old Milwaukee. You're doing something special for this Halloween at the Milwaukee Public Museum.
Yeah, so we, fortunately, the streets of old Milwaukee is already kind of set on a fall evening. So we've just added to that ambiance with some Halloween decorations, some fall decorations. But the best part is that it's all very, it's focused on what Halloween and fall would have been like in the early 1900s. Ooh. So, you know, much more historic than what you see today. So we don't have, you know, the flashy lights or the gore. It's, more crafty decorations. Everything back then was homemade. So we'll have some of the businesses, you know, with little Halloween decorations, and then Granny's House, for example, it's all decked out for a Halloween party. The mantle, you know, has some artwork, some streamers. She has some candy apples in the window. She and her granddaughter are both dressed up for the party. The granddaughter has a vintage Halloween hat on. And then outside her house, we have some trick-or-treaters. As well as a corn stalk made of crepe paper. One of our exhibit artists made that. And that's actually what people did back then. They made corn stalks for fall out of crepe paper. So was again, very period appropriate.
Was there a lack of corn stalks in the early 1900s?
Right. I don't know, but that was what they did. And then, you know, we've added a few. We did this last year for the first time. This is the second year we're doing it, where we're decorating for Halloween. This year, we added a few more things. So some of the props, you know, they're not just eye level. You have to look up. We have 100 crows to kind of add to that spooky vibe. So a lot of those, you know, are on like the telephone poles and the wires and windows that are, you know, on the second floor. Some more black cats around the exhibit, some bats. So lots of fun, but you have to kind of know what you're looking out for. It's not going to be, you know, completely in your face. And then we also have some vintage from our collection. These are over 100 years old, some vintage cards that people would have sent back then for Halloween.
What kind of Halloween messages were they sending each other in the 1900s?
Right. You know, witches, a lot of moons on the cards. So you gotta come to the museum and see what they were sending each other. But well, it's really fun.
I love the idea too, Madeline, that you actually have to take a little time to really look around. So if you're gonna go visit the streets of Old Milwaukee, don't go whipping through there because you're gonna miss some stuff. Yeah.
Right. You got to really be intentional and look in all the windows, and then you'll definitely notice, oh, yep, there's that and there's that. That's definitely for Halloween.
Well, and what I love, too, is the things that you display have all been donated over the years, right? That's how you come up with this stuff.
Yeah, most of the items in Streets of Old Milwaukee and throughout the museum are what we call our collections items. So these are the items that either have been collected by our staff, curators, researchers, or have been donated by the community. There are also props, though. Those are not collections items.
Sure. You know,
a mannequin, for example, or fake food is a prop. But yeah, a lot of them are these priceless collections items.
It's very, very cool. I love the streets of Milwaukee. The Old Milwaukee is so much fun. I've been there so many times, and I still go there, and I can spend hours just looking around. It's very, very fun. And Halloween sounds like a blast there.
So when can people get in and see this, Madeline?
Yep. So the decorations are up, and it is included with admission. And it goes until November 2nd. So you have the rest of this week and then, of course, all of next week and next weekend, too. And then after November 2nd, we take it down and we start decorating for Christmas.
Well, I feel like, OK, November, we're getting closer to the Christmas time, whereas I saw Christmas Oreos last week in a store. I'm like, not yet. We're not even in Halloween yet. Let's just we'll get there. We always do.
Right. So. Let us enjoy. Yeah. Right.
Exactly.
And poor Thanksgiving just gets completely skipped over.
I saw a turkey. It's fine.
We're talking to Madeline Anderson and James Flores from our great Milwaukee Public Museum, talking about all the doings they have going on for Halloween. So make sure you get to the Milwaukee Public Museum. Check out the great Streets of Old Milwaukee and their special Halloween display. James Flores, also here, the manager of Tribal Relations. James, tell us a little bit about your Native American Heritage Month and some of the celebrations going on involving that.
Oh, we have a great line of programming coming up for November. Starting off on Saturday, November 1st, we have our Three Rivers Powwow. It's free admission for everyone. Isabel Bader that day. And then also sponsorship from Forest County Potawatomi Hotel and Casino has really supported our programming for this month. And I mean, the powwow is going to be amazing. We're going to have dancers, drumming, singing, Indian tacos, crafts and vendors on the museum floor. It's just going to be a wonderful celebration to kick off Native American Heritage Month.
James, tell us a little bit. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but tell us a little bit more about the importance of powwows and why that is such an important of Native Heritage Month.
Oh, that's a great question. Yes. Powwows are celebrations, social gatherings where we celebrate our history and culture through songs and dance. And it's really a time for Native Americans to come together, but also for visitors that aren't Native to come and see our culture and share in the celebration, or maybe come out for a dance or two. And it's just really this cultural exchange. It's really just celebrating indigenous cultures, histories, and it's really a great social gathering.
So you do actually welcome people who might be rhythmically challenged to join the dancers at powwows. I'm just double checking.
Yes, you know, the MC usually says dance your style, dance your own style.
No judgment.
I'll just
zone.
Wave
no
my arms in a rhythmic pass. Now, Jane's asking the important question about how powwows are a part of your culture and bringing it to people who are not Native. I'm going to go back to what you just said before. Tell us more about the tacos. What is that? Like, what specifically makes that like an Indian taco? What goes into it? I'm just asking for research.
Okay, well, I think we've all had tacos here before.
Yeah.
And an Indian taco is, instead of having a tortilla, it's made out of fry bread. That part is fry bread. So it's dough that's fried. And it's really a treat to have. Okay. And we'll have Indian tacos there available for purchase. We have wild rice casserole available for purchase, among many other treats. And the vendors, if you're looking for I know we talked about Christmas earlier, not to push it, but you know, there's going to be some amazing Native American artisans there with different items available for sale, and you might find something for Christmas.
For somebody on your Christmas list. Let's talk a little bit about the regalia, James, because we talked to Paul Trebian, and he's going to be joining us again to talk about the holiday folk fair.
Yeah.
And the regalia is very important and tells very important stories, don't they?
Yes. And that's our traditional clothing. And each tribe has, you know, floral patterns, different types of beadwork, different designs. And it shares a little bit of that tribal affiliation. And it's really, I think, a way of demonstrating that our culture is continuing to this day, and that, you know, when we wear these clothes, these are, you know, very for special occasions, and we really want to go out looking our best. And that, I think, is if you come to the powwow Saturday, November 1st, you're going to see some amazing outfits.
The beadwork is so incredible. It really is. What a remarkable skill. It's so beautiful. That alone is worth checking out. And I can just see little kids being so excited about being able to take part in a dance circle. That would be huge.
Yes. I mean, I wish I had the patience for beading. You know, luckily I have relatives that can.
That's a long process, though, isn't it? Yes. I mean, that can take months to finish a vest or something. With all of that intricate beading. That's a lot of work, man.
James, when the month is done, when we're that specific celebration is finished, what else does the museum have that offers a connection to the culture of our Native American brothers and sisters? What can we find when it's not just that month celebrating you, but also just any day of the week, any time at the museum?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I mean, just this past year, we had we brought in indigenous chefs who use indigenous ingredients and prepare high quality, healthy meals. That's an event that we've had. Other times, we've hosted tribal members coming to the museum for private viewings. We've hosted our tribal historic preservation officers for the state of Wisconsin to come to the museum and beyond the state of Wisconsin. And I think for visitors, we're helping develop programming with our education department, where we can have educators go into the classroom for as part of this offsite engagement and talk a little bit more about Native American history and culture.
It's fantastic. I took my niece and nephew to the museum last year for the dinosaur event. And after we were done there, we walked around the area that was showing all of the different, the huge powwow circle. And my nephew was enamored with the colors and everything about it. And I was like, we should just come here for that alone and let you ask all the questions, because he was so fascinated by everything he saw.
I just want to note that, by the way, that Greg wanted to see the dinosaurs. He used the niece and nephew as an excuse to go see the dinosaur exhibit.
Is there even a niece and nephew? Who's to say? Who's to say?
You don't have to take children.
No.
You can go all by yourself to the Milwaukee Public Museum and check out its fabulous, fabulous displays. How is the move going? Anybody want to touch that?
Yep. So we are busy behind the scenes packing still. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we have these priceless collections items. We have 4 million of them.
Wow.
So a massive undertaking, but the team behind the scenes is doing an incredible job. A couple months ago, I think they hit the 500,000 item packed mark. So definitely making good progress there. And then at the site, if you guys drive by it, you'll see that also is progressing rapidly. Yeah. I think it was just a year and a half ago, we had broken ground.
Wow.
And now the structure, you know, has reached vertical height, and we are in the process of hanging these giant concrete panels that are enclosing the building. And that'll be done, I think, sometime next month.
Wow.
So it'll look more or less finished from the outside by the end of this year. But then all the interior work gets going, and toward the end of next year, then once the plumbing, the electrical, drywall's up, and we start putting in these amazing exhibits.
Madeline Anderson and James Flores from the Milwaukee Public Museum. Thank you so very much for joining us. Really appreciate your time. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our estate's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Hey, Doc, nice office. Quick question. If you had to choose, would you give yourself a root canal or run payroll?
Run payroll, no question.
Seriously? Have you run payroll before?
Paying my team with Gusto couldn't be easier. Gusto gives me unlimited payroll runs, next day direct deposits, and automatically files my taxes. Saves me time.
Wow, that's nice.
Over here, Doc. Can I run payroll too?
Choose payroll without the pain. Visit gusto.com/radio to sign up for free.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at just a little bit after the 10:30 news, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will join us to talk all things sports. We'll talk about the Packers. They're going to be facing off against our ex-boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. I keep on forgetting he's not on the terrible Jets anymore.
No.
He is a...
He got another job.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Paul Noonan after the 10:30 news. We will end the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the tossing and turning edition. It's a good one. Calvin found that one. And then I want to thank... I got to pull this up real quickly so I can get his name right. I want to thank Peter, who sent in... Peter Metzler sent in a suggestion for a Tisbat that we're going to use tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And if you ever have any suggestions for a This Shouldn't Be a Thing or a guest you think we should have or some issue that is happening in your community, we do broadcast statewide.
We do.
You can always contact us and let us know about it at Jane Says yes. at civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Speaking of
yeah
newsletters,
We got a newsletter, Jane.
We do. We have a new daily civic media newsletter, and it's completely free. You can subscribe to it for free, and then you'll get it every day in your inbox.
Yeah, all you have to do is go to civicmediatoday.substack.com and sign up right there. And it is growing, and we've only been out for about a month now, and people are signing up left and right.
Which is great.
It's a great snapshot of the day. You're going to find out what we were talking about on the shows, whether it's like some of that stuff is from yesterday, and then part of it, I think our show is on there from today, and you'll get it usually sometime later in the afternoon. But it's a great culmination of everything we're talking about, whether it's shows, podcasts, news of your area, special announcements, sports, weather, all that stuff is in there at Civic Media Today. Again, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up today. The newsletter is free.
It is free.
The app is free.
Completely
the
free.
The free app. I mean, my goodness. Okay, you download the app. You can listen to us anywhere.
I actually use it in the morning now.
Yeah.
Because WAUK, by the way, we've expanded our signal in the Milwaukee area.
Heck yeah.
And so we have Dan Haney, who's doing a great job on mornings now from 6 to 9. But I still like to catch Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah.
So I use the app.
Yes.
When I'm driving on my way into work.
There you go. But that also is free. I'm just asking a question here, Jane. Why are we charging millions of dollars for these things? I mean, it just seems like it could be a thing we do.
Because we want it. We want people to use it. And we want people to have it.
But it's all free.
It is absolutely free, as we say.
Yeah.
Yeah, download the Civic Media app. That is the way, by the way, I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
There might be another text to win contest coming
someday down the road.
Could be just a couple of weeks.
And that's the great thing about the app is that when you use the app, and like we said, you can take that app anywhere. We've gotten text messages from all over the world.
We have. It's really cool.
Vienna. We got one from New Zealand.
Philippines.
We got a Philippines one. We got East Brunswick, New Jersey. Everywhere you go, you can take the app. But also, you can also get in touch with us. You can call us through the app. You can text us through the app. You can leave a voice note, even if you don't like us through the app. Really, it's a great way to stay in touch with everything Civic Media. And like the newsletter in and of itself, the app, you can get news reports, notifications on the areas you live in and what you want to hear about. It's a very customizable app.
It really is. So if you live in Butternut.
We love Butternut.
You can customize it to the news in that area that you want to get. Maybe there's something around southeastern Wisconsin that you want to know about. You can get in, you can subscribe to that too.
Absolutely.
So like you said, you can kind of personalize it.
Yep. And
pick and choose.
It's always being updated, revamped, retooled to make sure it's the most up to speed, most app to speed. I'll show myself out. It's really great. I'm a fan of it. I have it. I've had it since the beginning, and it's just great. So, yeah, the Civic Media app, the newsletter, and also we know you're busy people. We know you're doing stuff. You might be listening to us in your car. You might be getting the kids to whatever they need to get to. You don't always have the time to listen to us live on traditional terrestrial radio.
And we get that.
Live on the app. You can always go to civicmedia.us/shows and you can find out you can find us there and download episodes and listen to them whenever, wherever you want. Our show, I'm pretty sure everybody goes back about 2 months.
So 2 months worth of shows.
And you can also subscribe to us as a podcast. You can do that. And then you have us delivered to your pocket every day, twice a day. All show long. You can do that anytime you want. Basically, what we're doing right now is we're telling you how you can stay in touch with us, whether it's the show, whether it's Civic Media. And also, just as a quick aside, I did not appreciate in the previous interview being called out for my love of dinosaurs.
Nothing wrong with loving dinosaurs.
Yeah, but I felt like I was being hornswoggled into making me feel like I was a lie. I have a niece and a nephew, and they love dinosaurs and butterflies, too. And one of them thinks they want to be a monster truck. He doesn't want to work on monster trucks or drive them. He wants to be one. But yeah, I love dinosaurs.
And that's there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
The more you say it, the less I think there's nothing wrong. So
we have news coming up next. And then when we return, we're going to talk all things sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan is on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away. It's out the hook. It's out the hook.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Department of Health Services officials say there's been a significant drop in the number of residents who have already received their flu shot this year. According to DHS data, only about 309,000 Wisconsinites have gotten their flu shot so far in the month of October. Last October, that number was nearly 860,000. DHS officials are encouraging residents to get their flu shot as soon as possible, as winter weather begins to move into the state and respiratory viruses start to become more common again. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed a pair of bipartisan bills aimed at bolstering EMS services. According to a press release, the bills aim to reduce financial barriers for residents pursuing a career in the field and increase the Medicaid reimbursement rate to reduce the financial burden for local governments and providers. Under the new laws, the Wisconsin Technical College System Board will award grant funding to technical colleges that offer an EMS program, and the Medicaid reimbursement rate for ambulance responses will increase to $175. The Senior Resource Center of Sawyer County is inviting area residents to contribute to a fundraising drive for its Meals on Wheels program. Organization officials say they're facing cuts like many other nonprofits in the region, but the need for the Meals program is increasing. The Meals on Wheels program provides area seniors who can't get out of the house as often as they used to with nutritious meals, as well as a wellness check and some social interaction. Senior Resource Center officials are recommending donations of about $7 per meal. Rice Lake area residents are being invited to a few Halloween events beginning this weekend. The Rice Lake Main Street Association will host a trick-or-treating event in the downtown area on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Cedar Mall and Cambridge Senior Living will also host their own trick-or-treating events for area kids on Saturday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. On October 31st, Dove Healthcare in Rice Lake will host a Wizard of Oz-themed trick-or-treating event. The organized event are meant to give area families a safe place for their kids to fully enjoy the holiday. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Captain Olivia Benson of the NYPD's SVU, also known as Mariska Hargitay, really had her sights set on comedy early in her career. During a recent appearance on Amy Poehler's podcast, Hargitay said she screen tested several times for Friends, specifically the role of Monica. She was on Seinfeld and The Single Guy as well and thought that sitcoms were her destiny until a psychic told her doing comedy would never make her famous. 6 months later, she got the role of Benson on the Dick Wolf series. The show has been on now for 26 seasons. Anybody know the number of a good psychic? Actress Elizabeth Olsen says she will no longer act in studio-financed films unless they get a theatrical release. The veteran of many indie films says she is fine acting in films that have no distribution, but says being a part of a big production just to go to streaming does not excite her. The Godzilla actress emphasized that the theater-going experience is very important and much like a sporting event in that it brings people together. Testify. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A mostly sunny sky will prevail as we go through your afternoon as the clouds move out. Light northwest winds and highs in the upper 40s. Overnight, we'll be in the upper 20s, mostly clear skies. On Friday, look for sunshine and lower 50s. Right now, it's 34.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Jason Mansmith from Green Lake's Thrasher Theater makes the popcorn pick of the week. Then Chris Rogowski from Chicken or the Egg Photography makes an in-studio visit. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins every other Thursday to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company's sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here. Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I am ironically at a technology conference and none of my technology is working. So there we go.
That it couldn't be better. That's kind of the perfect thing. Hey, I'm at a tech conference and none of my tech is working.
Hey, man, we're just going old school. It's like analog, but still digital. But you know what I get. Man, cool.
That's just the way things don't work. Yeah. Paul, no worries. Let's talk a little bit about the Packers. We're going to be facing our ex-boyfriend, Aaron Rodgers.
We are.
On Sunday.
He has had a pretty good bounce back season. Aaron, I will always like as a player, not like as a person. Not a good hang. Not a good guy to have a beer
not
with.
Not a good hang.
But I do think Pittsburgh was kind of the optimal landing spot for him. In New York, he got to run everything. He got to hire his friends. He got to fire his enemies. And kind of ran things how he wanted to, but he's not a good coach, and he's definitely not a good general manager. In Pittsburgh, they run a very good organization. I think they're like second to the Packers in terms of organizational maturity. Mike Tomlin is an excellent coach. No one is going to say or talk back to him. He is very well respected. He is one of the best coaches of all time, honestly. And Aaron has played within himself. He's been really good. He's been a top 10 quarterback. He is not what he used to be, but he can still swing it every once in a while. He was throwing some lasers last week. The Steelers traded for DK Metcalf from Seattle in the offseason, one of the best deep threats in football. And he's averaging 18.5 yards a catch. He leads the team in targets. The ironic thing about the Steelers is they usually have an outstanding defense and kind of a medium offense, and it's flipped this year. Their offense is quite good, and their defense has been actually kind of terrible, and it is what has cost them games lately. So Aaron has been good. He's managed to coax one more season out of himself in a good environment, and it'll be tough for the Packers on Sunday. This is actually going to be a pretty tricky game for them, I think.
Well, and that's something that you just said with regard to Mike Tomlinson, and I feel like that's a conversation piece that's been happening since the days of Green Bay towards the end, which was it kind of felt like if you told Aaron Rodgers he was just the manager of head coach of the team, he'd be like, fine, that's what I want to do anyways. But with someone like him, you kind of need to have someone like a Mike Tomlinson who can say, I get who you are. I understand your brand, but this is my team and we will work together, but you will not push me around, period. I don't want to think that conversation happened in such an aggressive way, but I have to imagine that conversation had to have happened at some point. Or maybe does Aaron just know that implicitly?
So it probably did happen to some extent. And I don't know Mike Tomlin's exact coaching style here, but here's one thing we do know about it. No team is better at dealing with crazy people than the Steelers. They have had the most talented crazy people come through that organization over the last 10 years, from Antonio Brown, who like ended his career by storming off the field for, I think, the Bucks. I can't remember where he ended up. DK Metcalf is not like an easy person to deal with. They traded George Pickens away in the offseason. He's a Cowboy now. He's a very tough guy to get the most out of. They have quite a few guys on defense who have been sort of off the field red flags and who've all performed well. So I don't know what Mike Tomlin's secret sauce is out there, but usually people are on their best behavior in Pittsburgh. And when they're once they're gone or before, they are no longer. So they do a great job there. And it's honestly, it's a competitive advantage. There are a lot of Steelers that other teams wouldn't touch that performed fantastically for them because of how they rub things.
So he's like the hard high school teacher. It's like, oh, my God, you don't want Mr. Tomlinson. He's not going to let you get away with anything. Yeah. Yeesh.
Yep, that is pretty much correct. Yeah. The one thing to look out for this week, in the last game the Packers played against Arizona, Arizona made just massive hay by picking on Nate Hobbs, the beleaguered current Packer cornerback, who was signed to be a slot cornerback. Those are the guys who play in the middle of the field. But the Packers have been playing him exclusively outside, where he has historically been kind of bad. I do not know why they're doing this. But if they do it this week, it's likely he gets matched up on DK Metcalf. And if that happens, they'll probably lose the game. It's honestly a game-losing thing that could happen. The Packers have a perfectly fine outside quarterback, Carrington Valentine, who they've stopped play. He played two snaps last week. He is, as far as we know, healthy. And so they're playing this really weird out-of-sequence cornerback alignment that needs to stop really, really quickly. Hobbs got killed last week, but I have a hard time blaming him. Like, he's playing a position that he is not as familiar with and not as good at, and I don't know why the Packers are doing that.
Yeah, that's – and Matt LaFleur doesn't seem to make a lot of those mistakes. That seems unusual that he would do that.
It is a little unusual, but there are a couple things that the Packers do wrong along these lines. One is they do stick with highly paid or highly drafted guys, sometimes a little longer than they should. The guy who does play the slot right now is Javon Bullard, who was a fairly high draft pick for them. Carrington Valentine, a very good player, was either a seventh rounder or a UDFA. He's a good story. He came from out of nowhere and turned himself around. And they paid a lot for Nate Hobbs. They traded for him, like real assets to the Raiders to get him. And so this may be an instance of just kind of throwing bad money after good money to try and get the most out of their big investments. But they got to stop doing it. They do this on the offensive line sometimes too, where they try and kind of force like guys like Jordan Morgan to play like outside of tackle when he's sometimes, well, more, he's in right guard right now, seems to be a better fit. But they'll try and push guys like to get the most of like value in a vacuum out of them, and it doesn't always pay off.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company is our guest on Matt Nair on Air to talk all things sports, and we're talking about the upcoming Packers game where they will be facing Pittsburgh and Aaron Rodgers.
And Paul, before we got on the air, I asked you to send over any articles or anything that you've been working on at the Acme Packing Company, and you sent something over to me entitled, "Why Does Jordan Love Not Seem, quote, seem as good as he is?" What are your thoughts on this? It's his third season. We got a fantastic first season, completely unexpected. Last year, I felt like, and this is coming from a non-sports analyst, I felt like, okay, this feels like he's new. He's getting into position. But in the third season, what are you seeing that gives you pause when you think about Jordan Love?
So I have fallen on the line of, I now think he's underrated.
Oh.
And I think conceptually, he's got a PR problem. Here's what it is. At the height of Aaron Rodgers' Packer stardom, circa like 2018, like end of McCarthy era, start of LaFleur era, the Packers would run on average about 75 to 80 offensive plays a game. At the end of the Rodgers tenure and the start of the Love tenure, they've been running about 68 to 65 offensive plays a game. And this year, they're running about 60 offensive plays a game. So from the height of Rodgers to now, they're down about 20 offensive plays a game because they run the ball more. They run the ball about 60% of the time, more than any other team in the league. That shortens the game. And they take forever to get up to the line of scrimmage. They almost always hike the ball with zero on the play clock. And so one of Matt LaFleur's things is shortening games. Because they do this, Jordan Love doesn't have the sort of normal counting stats you associate with a great quarterback. He rarely throws for 300 yards, but it's not really because he's not good at passing. It's just that they don't run enough passing plays for him to get to 300 yards. And I think it's really important to understand that about Love. When you look at his underlying rate stats, like on a per play basis, he's one of the best in the league by the two best sort of advanced analytics metrics for quarterbacks, EPA per play and DVOA. He's second in both of them to kind of ironically Sam Darnold, who's having a good season for Seattle that people don't realize either. But a lot of the criticisms of Love are really based more on the Packers' pace of play than anything he's doing. He's quite a bit better than the common perception of Jordan Love.
I see.
And it's worth keeping an eye on that. Like, he actually has been good. They could stand to pass more. They honestly, their running game this year isn't as good as it has been in the past. They give away value by keeping this kind of weird balance, and they could stand to throw an extra 5-6 passes a game and boost those a little bit.
We're talking to the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan about all things sports. Let's move on, Paul, for the time that we have left, and talk a little bit about the Bucks.
Undefeated.
Undefeated, yeah.
How many games have we played?
We played one.
Okay, one. Okay.
we played one game, and it was against the Washington Wizards. So it was against Chris Middleton. It was good to see Chris again, who had a very good game, and there was honorific handed out. Giannis was awesome, had 37 points. Almost every Buck starter and top reserve scored in double digits. The Bucks, I feel like, are kind of tempered expectations wise. This year had a nice off season, but they're getting long in the tooth. They are really strapped in terms of salary cap issues. This was a good first game. They played really well. There was a lot of good chemistry, a lot of spreading the ball. Giannis got 37, but everybody else got theirs too. Very up and down. So, you can't tell anything from one game at all, especially against a team like the Wizards. I might have said Nationals. I'm still in baseball mode. Sorry if I did. But against the Wizards. But it's a good start. It was a really impressive performance. I think if nothing else, the conference isn't that good. And so the Bucks still have opportunity if they can kind of bring some chemistry to the table and get one awesome season out of Giannis to go. And it was a good way to start the season. Bucks look good, and you can't ask for more than that.
It always blows my mind to hear you say, and I know in sport, they're old. But again, for me, it's like, oh my God, they're getting long in the tooth. They're like 35. God.
Yep. Sports old is a different thing.
I know. For sure. The different aging scale.
Well, and something, and I will perfectly admit this, I didn't get a chance to read the story when I was looking up the Bucks. The headline said, who's going to score points after Giannis? And while Giannis did score 37 points last night, there were 133 points scored, which means the other teammates scored the majority of those points. Is that really a concern about major scoring, or is it just about the fact that they'll just have another person maybe regard if Giannis goes away next season, someone comes in his place and becomes that big scorer, but they still have good scoring behind them being done by other players?
They do. I still think could use one more decent 3-point shooter, but they're pretty well-rounded. They're kind of a weirdly put together team at this point, but they do have a lot of good scorers. It is also based on Giannis, though. Like, I do think without Giannis, this doesn't work as well. He draws so much attention. He makes things so much easier for everybody else. And he's a good passer. Like, he's good at setting people up when he's in the mood to do so. he makes the whole thing run, and he will until he's not here.
Calvin. Calvin's our biggest. He's our biggest NBA fan.
Yeah, I'm definitely a little concerned about having a second go-to guy as far as scoring. What's his name? Kevin Porter Jr. looked good, but he got hurt in the first quarter, so hopefully that's not too bad. But yeah, I'm interested to see where they go. I think they have a lot of length that could contribute to them actually being a pretty good defensive team.
Yeah, agree with that. Turner edition looks like it might be really well put together too. So
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. Thank you so very much, Paul. We will see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Tossin' and Turnin' Edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A lawyer who had multiple phone calls with President Donald Trump during the January 6th insurrection has been appointed by the president to investigate debunked allegations that widespread fraud changed the outcome of the 2020 election. He has 130 days as a special government employee to complete his assignment. The Wall Street Journal reported October 17th that Kurt Olson, a product liability attorney turned Trump election lawyer, was appointed to look into President Trump's claims that the 2020 election was stolen. According to the January 6th Select Committee report, it was Olson who drafted a memo on January 2nd entitled "The Role of the Vice President in Receiving Votes from the Electoral College," and he spoke with Trump three times on January 6th. The Detroit News reports that Olson has recently been involved in defending another Trump election lawyer, Stephanie Lambert, from accusations she and others tampered with Michigan electronic vote tabulators. He defended U.S. Senate and Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake in her baseless challenges to the 2022 election. A judge sanctioned Olson for, quote, "false, misleading, and unsupported factual assertions," though his fines were later dropped. Two good government groups later filed ethics complaints in Maryland and Washington, D.C. for an alleged, quote, "pattern of unethical conduct." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
They were it. That's the ballgame.
Adrian Klenz is executive director of the Center for Deafblind Persons. Those cuts, those programs would be rolled into something else. Is there a group deafblind children could be folded into?
There is no other program. Those seven individuals have the specialized training to help those with dual sensory loss. There's no one else in the state of Wisconsin that has that training.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only, Kel Zone, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow, it's Friday already. The weeks are just going whoosh.
It's whooshy, whooshy. I feel like anything that rhymes with it sounds weird. It's just whooshy. And then before we know it, like literally we were talking about it with Madeline Anderson and James Flores. It's Christmas. I saw Christmas Oreos on sale. I've turned into my mom. It's too early.
It's too early. Yep. Dan Schaefer will be here.
And he'll be upset about it, too.
He probably will be. No, Dan Schaefer is going to be here tomorrow. He joins us at 9:30. He is, of course, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area.
Multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. I don't know why I said it like that.
Lots of awards, though.
He is covered in awards.
Yep, he is covered in awards. Dan Schaefer will be joining us tomorrow. Lots and lots of things to kick around, including, I see, Jill Underle has come out with a response to the report in the Cap Times. I think that's where it started.
Oh, absolutely. This report came out last week. We talked about it like within the day of it coming out. 200 investigations, investigation of 200 teachers basically being thrown into a drawer and no one hearing about it until the Cap Times doing a wonderful, I think this is going to win them an award too. This is some amazing investigative journalism. And it was sort of the thing of, where's Jill Underle, who's newly elected to the DPI head? And she has come out with a statement, and we'll probably be talking about that, but also other things, probably election stuff. Who knows? Maybe, real quick, I realized something. We talked last week about the project, the road project.
Yeah.
There are like five road projects in Milwaukee County happening. That is bonkers.
You're not going to be able to get anywhere.
No!
Listen to the radio. You're going to be in the car a lot.
Yes.
We're all going to be in the
car. We'll be your best friend.
We will. It is, Calvin, just about 10. It is now 10:55. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, like our friend did.
Yeah.
Send it in to Greg and me.
You're really excited to talk about that tomorrow.
I am. At Jane Says at civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from the Washington Post. Calvin found this one from Leo Sands. Headline reads, smart beds flipped out during the AWS outage, and so did their sleepy owners. Some 8 sleep mattress users had a rude awakening after the Amazon Web Services outage with reports of beds that got stuck upright and temperatures going haywire.
First of all, I just want to say I think my favorite tisbats are always the ones that come from the most respected news outlets, where it's like, this coming from the BBC. Monkeys are smoking more. You know, it's like, I love it when the award-winning papers are like giving us these, because all I'm thinking about is, how do they turn this into a movie? And you might say, Greg, how is that possible? Look up, Google something called deathbed, the bed that eats people, and you'll know why I think this could be a very, very financially sound reboot.
I think you might be onto something. For a few hours early Monday, there was an outage at the Amazon Web Services that triggered a cascade of error messages and system malfunctions across the internet, showing us pretty much how we depend on our providers.
Yes.
The rudest awakening, however, felt by those sleeping on 8 sleeps, high-spec internet-enabled mattresses. As the outage caused cloud servers to fail on Monday, people reported being awakened in discomfort by beds that locked upright, became unbearably hot, blinked flashing lights, or sounded wake-up alarms continually.
Or if you put your ear out there, you heard, I must eat my master.
Matteo Franchetti, who is the chief executive of 8 Sleep, says, quote, that is not the experience we want to provide, and I apologize for it.
It's okay.
8 Sleep also makes and sells internet-enabled mattress covers and pillow covers. He explained the malfunctions were the result of this outage. Engineers racing to build an outage-proof mode should this happen again.
But if I would just think, and I'm not a smart person, I am the opposite of smart. I would think if the internet service just stopped, like when my internet goes out, Jane, I can't get YouTube on my TV.
Right.
Things just stop. My bed doesn't become like sentient. Exactly. And start doing what it wants. And it's like, I must be hot now.
The 8 Sleep internet-enabled mattresses allow users to adjust the temperature between 55 and 110 degrees.
Well, you know, some people are cold.
Elevate their body into different positions, activate immersive soundscapes.
Oh my God.
And also vibrational alarms. The most advanced product bundles sell for over $5,000 in addition to a yearly subscription.
Oh.
That can cost between $200 and $400.
It's a Peloton bed.
In order to enable the temperature controls.
Whack-a-doodle. Just give me a pile of feathers. I will sleep on that instead. I'm fine. $5,000.
Why? This seems like a bad thing.
Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. Computers are relatively dumb, says the creator of this bed. They'll do what you tell them, but if you don't tell them what to do, they just run around in a panic. That wraps up today's episode of...
This shouldn't be...
We're going to keep talking about it.
We're getting late. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you get the chance to share it. Keep it here. News is coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Dozens of people, including some current and former NBA players, are now charged in connection with a widespread illegal sports betting scheme. ABC's Aaron Katursky says Miami Heat forward Terry Rozier is accused of using insider information for sports betting.
Terry Rozier was among players like Jontay Porter, who prosecutors said faked an injury and told sports bettors beforehand, like in a particular game when he was playing for the Charlotte Hornets back in March of 2023, that he would be out within 9 minutes, sometime in the first quarter. And the sports bettors then used that information to place $200,000 worth of bets, according to the indictment.
Rozier's lawyer is denying the charges. Vice President Vance criticizing Israel after a parliament vote approving the annexation of the West Bank. Home sales picked up last month as mortgage rates dropped. The median price of a pre-existing home, over $415,000. This is ABC News.